Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Dan Sammons preaching in our regular Sunday morning service.
Good morning. I was very blessed by what Brother Sonny just put before you. And when I read the church newsletter this week, it really resonated with me, this idea of kind of feeling the weight of trying to represent the Word of God, recognizing that we don't know everything perfectly, and yet there are some things we see, and we should bear witness to them. We do see through a glass darkly, and that means we don't maybe understand everything perfectly at times, but it should not lead us to the conclusion that we shouldn't be testifiers of the truths that we know. And by the way, honestly testifying of whatever you think you know, bringing it forth from the Word of God, even if you're wrong, can be instrumental in correcting yourself. You may be, there's brothers and sisters in Christ out there today who do not understand grace as we do, and I believe they have a misunderstanding. I admire the fact that they're willing to testify to what they see through that glass, however. And if they're honestly representing it as they understand it, they have an opportunity then for someone to come alongside them and say, you know, you said this, but let's look at the Word of God together, and maybe I see something in there that you don't see quite as well, and maybe you can be corrected on that. You see what I'm saying? So I think it's good to be, for God's people, to be testifiers of what they believe they understand out of the Word of God, and to stand on that and to try to explain it. And for all of us then to submit to what we find in the Word of God, such that we're going to find some things where we're wrong sometimes, and we're going to have to correct ourselves and maybe think a little bit more clearly about it. An example of that is in the book of Acts, when you have Apollos, who spoke very eloquently of the things he understood, but yet had an incomplete understanding. You had Priscilla and Aquila coming alongside him and explaining the way of God more clearly or more perfectly to him, right? So he was testifying. He didn't quite have everything right. He didn't understand or know all things, but he was honestly out there testifying, and that put him in a position where he could be corrected by people who saw some things through that glass darkly that maybe he had not yet seen. So I think that's an important lesson. I'm mindful of it today because the topic I want to put before you is maybe a little bit interesting in that regard. And I'm going to challenge some things that have been said from old Baptist pulpits from time to time. And I want you to think about it and examine it in light of the Word of God and say, is what he's saying really true? Should we think about those things maybe a little differently? And my topic is really quickening the quickened. Quickening the quickened. I'm going to start in Colossians chapter 2, and we'll find this testimony in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now that verse is very similar to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that talks about you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It's a similar, almost a parallel verse, if you will, in the Bible. And we understand that this is talking about regeneration. Man was in a state that the Bible describes as dead in trespasses and in sins, and at some point between conception and death, as a result of a covenant promise, all of God's elect will be quickened by an immediate fiat of God Almighty, wherein they are brought to life in Christ. That is the quickening that is in view here. And oftentimes when old Baptists speak of quickening, they are speaking of regeneration. That is a biblical use of that term. And we support it directly out of texts like this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, hath he quickened together with him. That's something he did. He did the quickening. Then it says, having forgiven you all trespasses. See that? He quickened you, having forgiven your trespasses. You see the distinction there? Many people are going to represent the Bible. Some people who are seeing through that glass darkly and maybe not seeing some things as they ought are going to say that someone asked for forgiveness or sought God, and then they were quickened, and then they had their sins forgiven. But this says that God's people were quickened, having forgiven you your trespasses. You see that? See the difference there? That's a very interesting distinction. By either cross, as we know it in the New Testament, or covenant, as it were, in the Old Testament, the promise that sins would be forgiven, God's people are quickened because their sins were forgiven. You follow me in that? Either in promise or in the actual transaction itself. So again, this concept of quickening, we often relate and biblically and correctly relate to the idea of regeneration or being born again. The term quick or quickened kind of has three meanings. And I remember as a child, I went to a different church of a different order, and they used to recite the Apostles' Creed as part of the church service. And one of the lines in that is, speaking of God, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And we would recite that, and I can remember as a young boy thinking, God is going to judge people who are quick. I guess he's not going to judge people who are slow or not so fast, right? That term in common English parlance implies speediness or acceleration or, you know, being agile or that sort of thing. And as a young child, not having that explained to me, I can actually remember my mother sitting down and explaining to me, well, quick actually means living. It's kind of an antiquated term. We don't use it in that way in modern English very much. But that's how I thought about it as a child, and that's one of the meanings it carries in common parlance today, but certainly the most common meaning. This biblical instance that we looked at in Colossians means to make alive. Something was dead. It was dead in trespasses and sins. It was quickened, and then it was alive in Christ. That's what happens to all of God's elect in this lifetime. So it does mean to make alive, but it also means to revive or stimulate. Now, how are you going to know the difference? Some people who would oppose our doctrine would try to take that definition and squeeze it into the texts of Ephesians 2 and verse 1 and in this Colossian text. They'll say it just means to be revived, to stimulate somebody. So they already had a spark of good in them, and this quickening just sort of fanned it into a flame of righteousness, right? We don't believe that's the proper definition in this particular context, and there's a whole variety of reasons for that, not the least of which is Paul's description and the psalmist's description of what a man who is dead in trespasses and in sins is actually like, such that he has no righteousness. There's none good, no, not one, as the brother alluded to in the prayer this morning. None good, no, not one. So there's no fan of goodness, right? That no flame of goodness that we could fan into a bigger flame of righteousness, so to speak. But this term does carry with it the notion of reviving or stimulating sometimes. That means regeneration is that which quickens one who was dead, okay? But there's also this notion of quickening those who have been quickened. You can quicken the quickened. You follow me? Now, that may seem a little odd to you at first, but hopefully I'm going to put some meat on the bones of that assertion, and we'll find through the context of Scripture that that is a very biblical concept, and it's the context that ends up dictating why we would say it this way. A lot of times in old Baptist pulpits, you'll hear preachers declare this, and they'll say, dead means dead. You ever heard that from the pulpit? I've said it. There's probably not an old Baptist preacher in this country who hasn't made that point at some point. But I'm going to challenge you in this respect. In one respect, that is certainly true. You can take any word, whether it's dead or alive or running or sitting or whatever, and you can say it means that word. You can say, well, living means living. Sitting means sitting. Running means running. Well, of course that's true. It has to be true, right? What's lurking behind that is, what do you mean when you say that? What are you implying? What is it you're really trying to impart when you say that? If someone says dead means dead, if what they mean by that is that dead in the Bible always means dead in trespasses and in sins, then they're wrong about that. It does not mean that in every instance. So in that sense, dead does not mean dead. If that's what they implied by that second dead in that sentence, it doesn't always mean dead in trespasses and in sins, and we're going to look at proof of that in just a moment. If they mean by that, dead means totally incapacitated, Well, it doesn't mean that in all instances either. And we're going to look at why that's not the case. However, if they mean, in this context, dead means totally incapacitated, and they're talking about verses like Ephesians 2:1, then that's exactly right. That is exactly right. Now, I've heard many old Baptist elders say dead means dead and make that emphatic point. And I have never heard one say it in a way that implies the wrong meaning. If you understand what they're saying in context, what they're saying is in Ephesians 2, chapter 1, when it talks about being dead in trespasses and sins, he's saying in this context, dead means totally incapacitated. That's what they mean when they say that. And yet I'm mindful, as someone who's come to this church from other orders and is coming in and not maybe fully embracing or understanding all of that context that we understand, having been in the Lord's church for so long, that someone might take that and do something with it that's a little irresponsible or that misunderstands what is being said there. So to reiterate that point, the word dead in the Bible does not always mean dead in trespasses and in sins. And when an old Baptist elder says dead means dead, what they mean is in this context, dead means something that's totally incapacitated. Is that clear enough? Now let me try to make this point just without any controversy here, in case that wasn't compelling enough. Ephesians chapter 5 makes this statement. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse about 13 is where I want to be. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The instruction of the Word of God is that which makes things manifest and is light to us. And then it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, is that dead? They're talking about dead in trespasses and in sins. Is that what we believe? Do we believe that in this instance, which is an exhortation to God's people, inspiring them to action, here you have a bunch of regenerate people, and he's saying, awake, arise from the dead. Is he saying, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You need to get up and get born again. Old Baptists would never accept that notion, right? So that tells you that this dead that's in view right here is not dead in trespasses and in sins. This is another dead, okay? This is the inertness, or, you know, what James at times calls dead faith, right? You're in a state where you're not living as you ought. Maybe you're asleep at the wheel. You're not exercising faith as you ought. You're not obeying God as you ought. You're not doing as you ought. And it is described here as a sleep or a death. It's an inert situation, but it's one from which God's people can be roused. You follow me? So in this sense, dead is not talking about someone who's dead in trespasses and his sins. It's talking about you're dead in the sense that you are not exercising your faith. You're not living as you are. You're not acting as you ought. And God's people need to be stimulated, if you will, to exercise the faith that they've been given. To arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. That's the idea that's in mind here. So dead does not always mean dead in trespasses and in sins, though it does in some contexts. Likewise, to quicken does not mean to make alive in that sense. It doesn't mean regeneration in every sense, though it does in some. You follow me? Now, why do I say that? That's because there are lessons in the Word of God that are very profitable to God's people, that are quickening to God's people, that stimulate and revive us, provided we're willing to accept that and be revitalized thereby. Let's look at Psalm 71. The psalmist actually uses this language very frequently. And I think if you, I hadn't done the counting on this, but doing a little bit of study on it, I think it's fair to say that the word quicken, you know, all of its variants, quickened, quick, quickening, quickeneth, you know, I don't know how many variants there are out there, but if you were to list them all out in the Bible, you would find that quicken has reference to regeneration in fewer of those verses than it has to reviving God's people, which is actually a much more frequent use of the term, particularly if you take in the Psalms. So let's turn over here and look at Psalm 71. I'll give you a little taste of this. Now, this is another use of quickening. He says in Psalm 71 and verse 20, "Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth." Now, what quickening is in view there? That is the quickening wherein you have the resurrection from the dead, right? So this is bringing back to life. It's not regeneration. It is you're being brought back to life, brought out of the grave, right? That's what's in view here. So that's kind of another version of the word quickening that does design the idea of being brought to life, but doesn't design regeneration. You follow what I'm saying? So we see an example there. But when we turn over here to Psalm 119, is where we really see this other view of quickening. In Psalm 119, let's look at verse 25. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Here you have a man who's in the dust over an understanding of what he is, his circumstances, how he is before a holy and righteous God. I'm telling you, a man who's dead in trespasses and sins does not have that attitude about himself, right? He might find himself in dire circumstances from time to time, but he doesn't have this spiritual concept of, "I'm in the dust here," right? Neither does he call out to God in a state where his carnal mind is enmity against God, call out to God and ask to be quickened by God in the sense of, "I need to be born again. I'm going to ask God to make me born again." That doesn't happen either. So what we see here is an instance of quicken, where someone is asking God to quicken thou me according to thy word. This tells us that there is a quickening, a reviving that takes place when a child of God encounters and embraces the truths of the word of God. It has a reviving effect upon someone who is already in a state of spiritual life. You see what I'm saying? Have you ever felt like you were down? I mean, we have a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not? That alone is evidence that you're in a spiritually living state. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You're spiritually alive. And yet, do you not look back over your life and see times when you say, "I'm very low right now. I feel like I'm dead. I'm as down as I could possibly be." And do you not feel like I need a reviving from the Lord? I need to be quickened. I need to be renewed in my sense of understanding of the things of God, in the promises of God, in the hope we have in Christ and all those things. You need to be quickened and quickened by the word of God. You need to be stimulated back to a much more active state in your Christian walk, so to speak. And that's what the psalmist has in view here. "My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word." Now, what many of other orders do with this text is they say, see, quickening, that's regeneration. Well, if that's true, then you got gospel regeneration going on right here. "Quicken thou me according to thy word." That's how that's used in a lot of other Christian sects. They'll say, see, it's the word of God. You preach the word of God to someone and that quickens them. That's how they get born again, right? So we see why that is not contextually supported here. This is someone who is a child of God, who is crying out to God. He's already born again. The Bible says holy men of God, you know, wrote the scriptures as they were moved along by the Holy Ghost. This is someone who is quickened already in the sense of regenerate, and yet he's saying, "God, quicken me with your word. Revive us again." You see that? That's what it's talking about. You can be quickened, stimulated, revived by the word of God. Let's see some other examples. Look over at verse 37. "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Revive me with zeal, Lord, such that I want to follow you instead of looking at vanities." Well, brother, I don't think that's what that's saying. He's saying this is a moment of decision. It's the hour of power, a decision moment in this person's life so that they can become born again and be eternally saved. This person's already eternally saved. That's why they're writing the Bible, okay? And they're saying, turn mine eyes away from beholding vanity. That tells you a child of God can be beholding vanity. We can get wrapped up in the things of the world just like anybody else, and we need to be quickened in the way of God. See that? Revival. Revitalized, reminded of the promises of God. Look a couple of verses down. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Is that a man that's dead in trespasses and in sins? Longing after the precepts of God? A man who the pride of his countenance will not so much as allow him to seek God? Is he longing after the precepts of God? No. No. This is a man who is quickened, who needs quickening. You follow me? He is a regenerate man who stands in need of revival and revivification, if you will. He needs the stimulation of the Word of God to get him back on track, to get him thinking about things the right way, to get him feeling about things the right way. It's a quickened man who is calling out for the quickening power of God in his Word. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. You follow that? A child of God saying, I want to be quickened. He's not saying I want to be born again. He's saying I need revival from the Lord. I need to be reminded of the promises of God that are on my behalf. Look over in verse 88. It's actually several quickens in here. And your homework assignment for this week is read Psalm 119. You can thumb your lapel when you're done. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. So you will really have done something if you read Psalm 119. And you'll find many instances of quickening in there. I don't know if I'm going to hit them all, but I think if you just ask the question each time, is he talking about regenerate me when he says quicken me? That can't possibly be the case, right? God's people, the quickened, can and do often stand in need of the quickening of God through his word and through instruction. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. See, a desire to want to be zealous for the things of God such that it becomes easier to obey God. I see his promises. I see that he's consistent. He's been faithful to me. He's loving to me. I understand the covenant promises towards me. And this quickens me, makes me feel alive such that I'm much more inclined to want to follow the teachings of the Word of God. Look at verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Have you ever felt that way? I don't know really anyone, any honest Christian, who has walked with the Lord for very long, who cannot speak about times of spiritual malaise in their lives where maybe their circumstances aren't going very well. And you're depressed and sad about it. And maybe as you look through that glass dimly at the things of God, sometimes that glass can feel like it's so dim, I don't know that I can see anything anymore. You know, the circumstances and cares of this life can so crowd around you that it almost makes that glass that you look through darkly almost seem like it doesn't allow light through at all. That is the darkness that can come upon a child of God. But this quickening, as we're reminded in the things of the Lord, and this is one of the reasons you need to be in church, you need to be hearing these things affirmed, is that this is instrumental in stirring up God's people and being reminded of the promises of God. And I'm telling you, when you're out in the world is not going to remind you of the promises of God on your behalf. It's not going to remind you of salvation by the grace of Christ. It's not going to do any of those things. It's going to stir up your carnal mind. It's going to convince you to chase after 1,000 carnal things, none of which are satisfying. And as you go after them, and maybe you even achieve and acquire some of them, all you do is recognize it's vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Ultimately, you'll end up in a place where if you have a spiritual thought about the matter, you're going to be like the psalmist who says, Lord, quicken me. Quicken me. Make me feel alive as I once did. You know, the Bible talks about a church that had lost its first love, right? You get so caught up in the cares of the world, so in the material blessings of this world. Everything's going great. You get so caught up in that that you've lost your first love. Now, you're not looking at Christ anymore. You're not looking at the blessings of the Lord. You're not looking at the promises of God. You're looking on the material blessings of this world, and you've lost your first love. Such people need to be quickened again, revived to such a state that they can see the beauty of Christ and the vanity of all the things that they would otherwise go after. Let me put a couple of others before you in the time that I have left here. Verse 149. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. Verse 154 says this, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. The Bible says that a wicked man, an unregenerate man, he cannot seek after God, right? Here's a man saying, plead my cause and deliver me. That's seeking God. If you're crying out to God, deliver me, you're seeking God. Yet once again, this cannot possibly be the cry of the unregenerate. This is the cry to quicken spoken by the quickened. You follow me? It's a call for God to revitalize and renew our faith in Him. Verse 156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Verse 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Now that one just absolutely, there can be no doubt about that one. Anyone who's going to go through Psalm 119 and talk and say all this quickening has to do with regeneration, that's never going to fly. Here's a person who is saying, I love thy precepts. That's a man that's born again. Quicken me. Someone who loves the precepts of God and he's asking to be revitalized, renewed, and strengthen according to God's loving kindness. We all stand in need of quickening. And the Word of God is a quickening power among God's people. Now, by that, I do not intend that it regenerates men. We believe that the regenerating power of God is best expressed in John chapter 5 and verse 25. To me, this is the clearest picture of regeneration, of the quickening of regeneration. John chapter 5 and verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you. That's truly, truly. If you were to hear them speak at that time, he would have said, amen, amen. That's what you heard coming out of their mouths, right? Amen, amen, I say unto you. The hour is coming and now is. That means this is how it's always been, and it's always going to be this way where it comes to the quickening of regeneration. When the dead, that is the dead in trespasses and in sins, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, that is the immediate quickening fiat of God. That says unto one of his children, live, and they live. Follow me? They shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's not the voice of the preacher. Many people take this verse and they'll say what this really means is, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the preacher, and they that hear shall live. That is not what is said here. This is the immediate fiat of God himself, the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Follow me? Immediate Holy Spirit regeneration. Very clearly taught in the Word of God. That is the quickening of regeneration. But those who have so heard stand in need over the course of their lives as they walk as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as they go through this life, they stand in need of revival and quickening time and time again. And the Word of God is instrumental in that quickening. As the truth is preached to you, affirmed to you, as you hear it repeated, as you go out in the world for 6 days and all these things get torn down, it's like, you know, just completely tearing you down so much of what you see. And you come back in here and you hear the truths of the Word of God reaffirmed and reproven time and again. That has a quickening influence on the lives of God's people, and we should be those who are calling out for the quickening power of God. If we look down a little further in this passage, we see reference in verse 28 to another quickening. He says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." Same voice, another quickening that means bringing to life again. Very similar to regeneration in that respect. And this is the quickening that we will all ultimately have. So you've got the quickening of regeneration that occurs for all of God's people. You've got the quickening or the revival that can come into your life as a result of the Word of God, having the truths affirmed to you, having your faith built up in the truth. You've got that quickening that is part of the heritage in the Lord's church, is part of what we as disciples should be laying hold of every time we open the Word of God and declare it to others. We can be quickened by the Word of God. We can be revived, and we can have our faith strengthened and renewed as a result of it. But there's yet another quickening coming. And this is the hope that we all ultimately have. And as we draw closer to death in this life, this hope starts to become more important to us, right? We make much of the immediate quickening of God in regeneration. And that's great. That's a great truth. We need to affirm that. In this life, we should be making a lot more of how the Word of God can quicken us and revive us and strengthen us in our walk. But as we grow older, we begin to see the joy and the blessing of this truth in verse 29. In verse 28, it says, "All that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." There is a final resurrection, a final quickening. We have a hope in that. As we all grow older and we begin to recognize that we're not going to be here forever. Our hopes are not in this world. The things that draw us away and occupy our minds so often are often just carnal things that rob us of our joy. And we stand in need of quickening from the Word of God. It's one of the reasons we ought to be in the Lord's house. As we listen to the Word of God preached, it can have a quickening effect on your life.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Dan Sammons preaching in our regular Sunday morning service.